He's on.
Okay, the PBS feed is on. Are you on?
Commissioner Feagin thinks so.
Commissioner Feagin, can you hear all right?
I can hear.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Brett Kennecke from Montana Dakota Utilities. We're asking to be granted intervention in this docket. We don't expect to have the lion's share of the work or anything outlandish to say, but we do want to be involved in it and would ask for you to grant my late filed intervention. I filed this on the same day that I heard about this from MDU, but we were behind the curve on this matter. We've committed to the staff and to Northwestern that we would file our comments in a timely fashion should we be granted intervention so as not to hold up the docket, and I would just simply ask for your courtesy in granting us that ability so we can move forward with the parties on the same schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, and appreciate your statement that you won't attempt to delay the process. Is there anyone else wishing to address the commission before we go to staff? If not, staff have anything to say? Ms. Semler?
Thank you. Staff's only concern was the schedule. The administrative rule requires that we complete this within 60 days, and we appreciate the comments made by the intervener that we can proceed on that schedule. Staff recommends approving the intervention, and I have been in touch with Northwestern as well, and they don't object either.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on this item? If not, Commissioner, questions? Hearing none, is there a motion on PS 11-001?
On PS 11-001, move that today the commission shall grant intervention to MDU.
Thank you. Any discussion? Commissioner Feagin?
Votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion carries. Under telecommunications, our first docket is TC09-098 in the matter of the complaint filed by South Dakota Network LLC against Sprint Communications Company regarding failure to pay intrastate centralized equal access charges and to immediately pay undisputed portions of SDN's invoices. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the stipulation for dismissal of the third-party complaint of Sprint Communications against SANCOM? Who is first up on this item?
Commissioner Tabloy. Yeah, this is Tabloy Zorich. I can address it to begin with. This is a similar filing to what Sprint had reached with Split Rock here about 3 months ago. We've been able to settle all claims we have with SANCOM. This stipulation is being mirrored by a filing in federal court resolving all claims in federal court also.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff, and I spoke to, emailed with Mr. Larson, and he's not available today. He's in depositions, so he will not be joining us, and staff would recommend that the commission grant the stipulation for dismissal.
Thank you. Are there any questions by the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion? Excuse me. Commissioner Nelson.
I move in TC09-098 that the commission grant the stipulation for dismissal of the third-party complaint of Sprint Communications against SANCOM, Inc.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion carries. Second docketed item under telecommunications is TC11-091 in the matter of the application of TC Systems Incorporated for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services in South Dakota. The questions before the commission are, shall the commission grant the request for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services within the state of South Dakota, and shall the commission grant the request for waiver of ARSD 2010-32-3 12 to TC Systems. Mr. Van Camp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp on behalf of TC Systems, Inc. Again, this is a limited request for a certificate of authority. TC Systems, Inc., which is a wholly owned subsidiary of AT&T, does not intend to provide retail exchange services at this point, only to provide exchange services to one of its affiliates. I'm really here to just answer any questions you might have, but we would request the waiver pursuant to 2010-3203 sub 12, as we don't keep separate sets of accountings as required by that administrative rule, but we have tried to independently address the concerns that Commission staff has with the information requested.
Thank you.
Ms. Melhoff?
Thank you. This is Brittany Melhoff for staff. TC Systems filed an application for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services in South Dakota in accordance with the Commission's administrative rules. The company has agreed to not offer any prepaid services, including prepaid calling cards, and to not accept or require any deposits or advance payments without prior approval of the Commission. Staff recommends the Commission grant the certificate of authority to TC Systems, subject to rule safeguards and the condition that TC Systems not offer any prepaid services, including prepaid calling cards, and not accept or require any deposits or advance payments without prior approval of the Commission, and grant the requested waiver of ARSD 2010-3203-12.
Thank you. Mr. Van Camp, are those conditions and restrictions ones that you can live with?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Are there questions from the commissioners? From your application, it wasn't clear to me, at least, which of the affiliates would be served. And you just mentioned that there were several, or at least two. Do you know which ones, or will all of them be served?
The two of the affiliates that are operating right now in South Dakota that I'm aware of that do use TC's services are Communications of the Midwest, AT&T Communications of the Midwest, and AT&T Mobility. How they will interact with the subsidiary, I do not know. If the commission would like to know that information, I could certainly supply it to them.
Personally, I don't think it's of great consequence. I was just interested in knowing. Any further questions by the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion? We have two questions before us.
Mr. Chairman, in TC 11-091, move that the commission grant the request of certificate authority to provide local exchange services within the state of South Dakota with stipulations of staff. And I believe I can do both.
Yes, you may.
And grant the request of waiver of ARSD 2010-3203-12.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Third item under telecommunications is TC 11-092, in the matter of the filing by Liberty Bell Telecom LLC, doing business as Dish Network Phone and Internet, for approval of its intrastate switched access tariff number 1. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve Liberty Bell Telecom LLC's intrastate switched access services tariff number 1? Mr. Dugard, are you up on this one?
Yep. It's possible there could be someone on the phone from the company, but I don't believe so. They weren't intending to be on the phone. However, staff recommends the commission approve Liberty Bell Telecom's intrastate switched access tariff number 1, with the condition that section 2.5 titled Customer Advance Payments and Deposits be removed from the approved tariff. The removal of the language eliminates conflict with conditions that were placed upon the company when they were granted their certificate of authority in docket TC 10081, and we visited with the company and they are agreeable to the change in language. So with that change, we would recommend approval of the rest of the tariff as filed.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here to appear on this item? Hearing none, Commissioner questions? Mr. Dugard, excuse me, Commissioner Nelson, did you have? Mr. Dugard, you referred to 2.5. Was that 2.6.3, Section C, 5, or was that just 2.5?
I believe within the their filed tariff, it is Section 2.5. I will double-check that here in 1 second.
Okay, that's fine. I just have some questions pertaining to the language, and I'm sure Commissioner Nelson was...
Just 2.5, under regulations... titled Customer Advance Payments and Deposits.
Does that include the language pertaining to any claim is waived unless it's presented to the company within 30 days of its occurrence?
That does not include that language, no.
And does it does or does not apply to the limiting the actions against the company to 1 year on overbilling?
It does not include that language either. I can actually read the language I'm referring to. It's very short. Okay.
That's fine. Those are the two areas that I'm most concerned about, and I'll let Commissioner Nelson ask what questions he might have, because those two areas I think would need to be addressed. Commissioner Nelson?
If I might, and I am going down the same road, in Section 2.1.4 sub F, 2.1.4F talks about a 30-day limit on any claim. And we've had another docket that was an issue in, and it seemed to me that by law, a company was allowed significantly more than 30 days. And so I'm curious whether... this is enforceable, and even more curious whether this is advisable, given that law allows a longer amount of time.
Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. This tariff is in lieu of an interconnection agreement, so they don't have to take under this. This is only if they do not have an interconnection agreement with the company. Again, this is not a mom and pop and big company. These are two big companies that are entering into this. You know, staff used to look at the tariffs much more closely and go through them, but because of the change in the companies that, you know, this is, like I said, between two larger companies, it's not a consumer, an end user in a company. Staff has taken more of a hands-off approach on those matters.
Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate it. Do you have concerns with the language that Commissioner Nelson and I were concerned with? I still do. It's just when it states that any claim, I recognize it's a business and they're going to have their attorneys review it and they're going to, but negotiate, except that we're setting a tariff here. I'm concerned that it says that any claim is waived unless it's presented to the company in writing within 30 days of its occurrence, and it just doesn't seem like they would. You know, if it occurs and when you're notified, those are two different times, and it would seem that a company is placed at a great disadvantage in that situation.
I wouldn't disagree with your assessment of that. I did notice later on, and I'm looking in the tariff, they do say that... conflicts will be resolved under our statute of 13.1 and 13.1.1. Again, whether the tariff is onerous, it very well could be. But again, they have the option then to enter into an interconnection agreement with the company if they don't care for the tariff language.
And they can amend that in their agreement?
I assume under an interconnection agreement they can enter into any terms and conditions that they choose.
Thank you. I'm more comfortable with a different number of days on there. Commissioner Nelson was referring to the Adventure case in which we, I don't recall exactly what we decided upon, but I think it was 90 days. But if there's someone else here that remembers that. All fountain of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Rolaine knows it all.
I thought in the Adventure case they had actually proposed the 90 days, and other companies had complained that 90 days was too short. You know, an option might be with respect to that section is just to defer it and ask the company if they had an objection to deleting that, and perhaps looking at section 2.6.3CF when they're also trying to limit actions against the company.
2.6.3CF or 5?
5.
Thank you. Ms. Kramer, did you have any thoughts on that? That sounds like an amenable...
I would say we could be comfortable with that. And additionally, the you may notice the effective date on their filed tariff was December 29th of last year. And when we visited with them about putting the item on this agenda, obviously being after their effective date, they indicated that they were not doing business, or they were not looking to do business immediately. And so I don't have the impression that there would be any difficulty in a slightly extended timeline.
And do any of the attorneys feel we need to make any change to that effective date at this time? I don't see that we do. I'm just curious if... Okay. Answer is no. Commissioner Nelson, you looked like you were poised to say something.
Well, I would simply concur with that. I wish the company were on the phone to answer some of these questions for us today, but since they're not, I would be in concurrence with deferring this until we can get these questions resolved.
All right. I'm set. I appreciate that, and generally we concur when a commissioner wishes to defer an item. We defer it for the reasons that were stated. So without objection, we will defer TC 11-092 to the next commission meeting. Item number 4 under telecommunications is TC 11-093 in the matter of the filing by MCI Metro Access Transmission Services, LLC, doing business as Verizon Access Transmission Services, for approval of its access services tariff number 2. The question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the request to tariff changes? And Mr. Dugard, is this yours as well?
Yes, you get me again. This is the first of a number of similar filings that were made in response to the FCC order that requested some of similar types of compliance to take effect by January 1st of this year. And so we've seen a flurry of them come in filed. The tariff changes aren't anticipated to increase rates, and they are meant to comply with the recent FCC order. Staff recommends that the commission do approve the requested tariff changes with an effective date of January 1st, 2012, to comply with the order.
Thank you. This docket was held over from the last meeting because intervention date had not passed at that time. Has anyone requested intervention?
No.
Thank you. Are there questions by... I should first ask if there's anyone else wishing to testify on this item. If not, questions by the commission? Commissioner Nelson?
I'm looking at... and I'm on page 2. At 2.3.3.4.1.2... And it talks about this applying to the extent that the customer has also implemented billing of interstate access charges relevant to the FCC order. What happens if the customer has not?
To my knowledge, I don't believe that they would fall under the, you know, this talks about the minutes of use factors that will be determined regarding to the relevant VoIP to PSTN traffic. My impression is that that customer would be treated how they are currently operating. But I'm, and that is my impression.
If I could follow, and I don't disagree with that, but I don't know if under the FCC order they, that's permissible either. I don't know. That, and therein lies my questions.
Rolaine, did you have any thing to add to that or question?
No, I guess I thought perhaps the company would be on the phone just so that we could ask them whether how that section was intended to apply in different situations. And I thought perhaps they could point us to some language or something, perhaps in the FCC order, that allowed it, because there certainly could be something in there. I was just curious as to, you know, what happens if they didn't. Then they just, what was their intention? They were going to charge the intrastate rate? I didn't know. I just had some questions on it.
Thank you. Perhaps this is an item that we need to defer then as well. Would you concur?
I would certainly like to have the answers to those questions.
Commissioner Feagin, did you have any questions on it as long as it's before us at this time?
No, the only thing that I think we should do is inform Verizon that we have a new executive director also when we ask them those questions. Because the letter was sent to Pam.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
But otherwise, yes, the same questions that both of you have.
Thank you. We will defer item number four, TC 11-093, to the next commission meeting. I had an item five on TC 11-094 on an earlier agenda, and I'm wondering, apparently that is not on this agenda. That was taken off. Thank you very much. That concludes the telecommunications dockets. The last item on our agenda prior to announcements is the election of chairperson of the commission. The commission on an annual basis, at least most years, either in December or January, elect a chair and a vice chair to the commission. And unfortunately, this year for the folks in Iowa, the Iowa caucuses will no doubt find themselves on the back pages as a result of the election that's taking place here today. But in spite of that, this is a very important election. We take it very seriously, and it means a great deal to those of us who have had the opportunity to serve in a leadership position on the commission. And I've certainly appreciated my tenure here. If my fellow commissioners will permit me, I'd like to say something nice about both of them. First, I'd like to make a motion, and then I'd like to address those. Ordinarily, in parliamentary procedure, you don't make motions like I or statements like I have, and then make the motion, and then have the floor, and just go ahead and say what you want to say. But I'm taking some liberties here. I would like to nominate at this time. I nominate Commissioner Chris Nelson to be the chairperson of the South Dakota PUC for the year 2012. And I do that, if I may make remarks, because Commissioner Nelson has certainly acquitted himself as a commissioner over the past year. He's done a very, very good job. He is, at least in my opinion, is an academic. He reads and studies to the point that he understands not only the 30,000-foot level, but the minutiae on the items that we have before us. He is always prepared, and frankly, from from the get-go with the experience that he has had in not just the Secretary of State's office, but in his life experiences. He's certainly capable of being the chairman of the South Dakota PUC. And I would hope that my fellow Commissioner Feagin will support that as well. Are there any further remarks on the motion? Hearing no further remarks on the motion, we will vote. Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen votes aye. The motion carries, and I'll pass the gavel at this time to Chairman Nelson.
Thank you. I appreciate the confidence that that my fellow commissioners have placed in me greatly. You know, over the last year, it has been a wonderful opportunity for me to work with this commission, and I've grown to greatly appreciate the professionalism and the dedication of the staff of the PUC and my fellow commissioners, and I look forward to leading this organization over the next year. With that, we do have a need to elect a vice chairman. Commissioner Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would actually like to make a motion at this time that Commissioner Feagin be elected the vice chairperson of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. And if I may make remarks at this time as well.
You may.
Commissioner Feagin has, when you make the statement about professionalism, Commissioner Feagin is definitely a professional. She is, as well as coming prepared to the meetings, she brings some vibrance that perhaps you and I don't don't bring to the meetings. She is effusive. She's enjoyable. Brings a bright light to the commission meetings, and she has throughout her career shown herself to be a very talented individual, both as a legislator and as the person in charge of businesses, statewide businesses, and a very, very capable person. And I have enjoyed the short duration that we have had the opportunity to work with. So at this time, I make that motion.
I would certainly second that motion, and at this point we will vote on vice chairman. All those in favor of Commissioner Feagin as vice chairman will vote aye. Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye.
Hansen votes aye.
Motion passes. We have a vice chairman.
Does that mean that I get to vote second from now on?
I think that's what that means.
Yes.
Very good. Is there any other business to be brought before the meeting today? If not, the announcements. A number of the commissioners will attend the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships meeting at 11:30 a.m. on January 13th. The PUC offices will be closed January 16th. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the commission will be January 17th at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon in room 412 of the state capitol. And I understand we may have a secondary location also for that meeting. I think we may end up using DDN for that meeting. And then there's some other announcements that you can read on the agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor vote aye. Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries.